So hi everyone, today I'll be presenting my paper, which is an evaluation of warp acceleration technique for developing regions. This is a joint work with my colleague Juan, my advisor Kai, Jeff, a faculty member in our department, and Asma Fahd is a faculty member in the, in the computer science department in Baghdad University, and she's my sister. Starting with the motivation, and as we have been hearing from the beginning of the day today, we all know that the poor network infrastructure is the common factor across developing world. And this is why wireless rather than wired connection is being considered as the main way to get internet connectivity for users in this area. Here is a figure that shows how people in Iraq actually are getting their internet service. The internet service provider who provides service for a few thousands of people is actually connected to the outside world via a fiber optical cable. And this fiber optical cable has only 5 megabits per second capacity. And the ISP also has a satellite as a backup connection, which they rely on in case there is a congestion in the cable. The ISP is connected to a set of local server providers, and those local server providers are within 10 kilometers distance away from the ISP. And the kind of connection is a long-distance Wi-Fi point-to-point Wi-Fi connection. The local server providers connect, providing service to their local users who are within 2 to 3 kilometer distance area. And this is a kind of the long mile connectivity. And again, it's a long-distance Wi-Fi connection. In picture, here is a set of photos that shows how the students, researchers, faculty members in Baghdad University are getting their internet service. This is a picture of the department, of the computer science department in Iraq. And as you can see, there is a set of antennas being mounted at the top of the building. And here's a zoom in that shows one of these antennas. I'm sorry, the quality of the picture is not as nice as it is on my computer. This is one of these antennas that communicates with another antenna. Wow. With another antenna. With another antenna that's installed at the local server provider. Beside these mini antennas, there is also high gain, unidirectional, more powerful antenna that's used to provide the connectivity to the local service provider. This is a picture that was taken from the top of the tower and shows the building where the internet service provider is located. This is almost actually more than 10 kilometers away from the local service provider. These multi-point wireless point-to-point connection gives a very reasonable explanation for the long latency and weak connectivity people are struggling with when they are trying to access the internet. In our own experience, it took us more than 20 seconds to start up Google Docs with a cold cache browser. And this is why most of the people back there are still relying on portable storage media as a way to share their data in case they have any kind of collaborative work. And they pass their data back and forth in order to edit their document. Network researchers have realized this problem. And there are a lot of network acceleration techniques that have been suggested so far. Some of these techniques have been tweaked to fit in the developing world environment, other being just duplicated the way it is. Some of these some examples of these techniques include web proxy caching, web prefetching, offline browsing, and data deduplication. In this paper, we evaluate the performance of some of these techniques using real web traces, and we are evaluating the web proxy caching and the web prefetching. We also suggest a new technique based on our observation from this evaluation. I would like to talk a little bit about the web traces that we used. We used web traces that were collected from different sides of the world, collected over different period of time, and collected from sites that use different internet connectivity and also provide service to users with different background and use the internet for different reasons. And here is a table that shows the traces that we used. The first one was collected by us, And it was collected at the ISP that served Baghdad University and the nearby residential area. This provider, this service provider, as I described, used cable and as satellite as a backup connection. The web traces was collected over 2 days period of time, and it has 2 million web accesses. Second two traces, actually, we managed to get access at by communicating, you know, authors of previous works. And the first one was collected in Zambia in 2010, and it was collected at the gateway that connects the satellite to the wireless network that provides service to a village in Zambia. And this web trace has 4 million web accesses and was collected over 20 days, and it used satellite for connectivity. The third and the last one was collected in Cambodia, and this is the oldest one. It was collected in 2005 and at an internet service center, and it has 11 million web accesses. So let's start by looking at the performance of the web proxy caching. This figure shows two metrics that can help you to understand how effective the web proxy cache. Part A of the figure shows the cache hit ratio, and part B shows the request response time. For the cache hit, we distinguish between the cache hit and the cache hit with freshness check, which is the case in which, if modified since HTTP requesting, which is basically, it's a cache hit, but it's required to go all the way to the remote server in order to check the validity of the page before serving it to the user. Zooming in into this figure, we can see in part A the high quality or the high cache hit ratio with more than 40% of the requests being actually served from the proxy cache. And part B shows that the average response time for the cache hit was obviously leading with two order of magnitude reduction in the response time. The cache hit with freshness came next, second, with one order of magnitude faster than the last case, which is the cache misses. These two figures shows and prove the effectiveness of the web proxy caching, which is something we kind of know and expected to get. Our analysis actually also shows that among these 60% cache misses, we have 59, 62, and 41% of these cache misses were belong to a dynamic web accesses. What do we mean by dynamic web accesses? Accesses or requests that required some code to be executed at the web application in order to generate the required content for the user side. Beside composing a high percentage of the cache misses, these dynamic web accesses actually are growing in size, which is something you can tell from their percentage in the 2005 web trace and their percentage in the most recent two traces. This figure shows the distribution of some of these web accesses over the application where they come from. And in order to understand it a little bit more, and if you are curious to know, for the Iraqi web trace, we've noticed that almost 20% of the dynamic web requests actually were all coming from Facebook. And for the Zambia web trace, more than 10% of the dynamic web accesses were belong to Gmail. And Yahoo search was the top, the highest, or the number one application for the Cambodia web traces. So in the same manner, you can see that the top eight application are responsible for around 40% of these dynamic web applications. Moving on, here is the analysis for the second network acceleration technique, which is the prefetching. Prefetching, if we want to define prefetching, it's basically predicting future web accesses and downloading them ahead of user requests, i.e. prepare the data for the user before asking for this data, something similar to the last paper in the previous session. prefetching technique can be classified into either non-history-based techniques or history-based technique. For the non-history-based technique, what we are doing is scanning the most recent download page and download all the pages in the anchored link. These techniques are easy to implement, run in a standalone fashion. However, they come with a limited performance rate. For the other group of prefetching techniques, we call it the history base, in which there is a kind of algorithm which tries to understand and learn the user access behavior, and then use this knowledge in order to predict what is the next page that's going to be served. History-based algorithm composed of two components running at both client and proxy site, and these components are exchanging information among them, and based on these information, the predicted pages will be downloaded. The main problem with the prefetching technique is that they are so expensive, and by expensive we mean that they are consume a high bandwidth. They come with a high bandwidth overhead. The overhead can reach to 22%, and some of them are good, others are not good. They just download everything and hope that the user will use some of the downloaded data. The overhead, the performance that was reported range between 2% up to 10%. Encouraged by the high performance rate that the history-based was able to achieve, we actually implemented the prediction by partial matching technique, a technique that was suggested in 1999 by Fan et al. And it's basically building a history tree structure in which each tree predicts a sequence of target URL accesses to follow another sequence of predicted accesses. The table that I'm showing here shows the results of implementing the PPM algorithm on both Zambia and the Cambodia trace. Unfortunately, we were not able to implement the PPM on the Iraqi trace because it doesn't have the IP address, which is an essential for building the tree. The table shows three metrics: hit rate, the overhead rate, which is basically how much extra bandwidth the algorithm consumed; the use rate, which is the accuracy of the algorithm. Comparing with the 10% hit ratio that was reported earlier, our result came so poor. And one very normal question to ask is why? What was the reason behind this low ratio? Our explanation is that two main reasons standing behind these low results. First, that web proxy caching effectiveness. Most of the early work that evaluated prefetching actually assumed that there is no proxy caching is being deployed for various reasons. Some of the early works, assumed that it is difficult to have proxy caching, and if we can run a prefetcher, that can be probably easier. And the second reason is that the increasing in the ratio of the dynamic request. PPM was suggested in 1999, and as you can imagine, the kind of traffic that we have in 1999 is completely different than the traffic that we have right now. So in order to support our conclusion, we run actually PPM in two different hypothetical cases. In the first case, we assume that, okay, there is no cache, and all the traffic, we will try to predict all the traffic and download those that sounds to be promising. And in the second case, we assume that not only there is no cache, but also that all the traffic are actually cacheable, which means that all the traffic is static, not dynamic. And as it can be shown in this figure, for the case where we assume that there is no cache and all the trace actually static, not dynamic, we were able to reach to 9%, which is close to the original number that had been reported. So from the previous slides, we can see that, first, web proxy caching is an effective solution. However, it only works for static web pages, not the dynamic one. Second, the dynamic, the ratio of the dynamic requests is increasing every day, and it's becoming the majority of the network traffic. Third, there are a small percentage or a small set of applications that are responsible for most of the dynamic network traffic. So, inspired by these facts, we speculate that high gain can be achieved if we can cache dynamic web application. And this is what we call the local application mirroring. Local application mirroring, which is the acceleration technique that we are suggesting or advocating, means basically caching dynamic web, dynamic web application locally in order to reduce the latency at the client side, as well as the network traffic that's been generated from this application. In concept, our technique is so similar to the Akamai and the Amazon CloudFront. However, we will run so closer to the user than the previous two cases. The challenges that we are expecting to face are a lot, and in the following slides, I'm gonna summarize them. First one is the data management. The fact that the application data is gonna be distributed among local and remote sites make the distributed data management is one issue that we have to handle. However, web-based application can be actually classified into different kind of groups or two groups based on their the application state. First group, which what we call the read-only state or the soft state applications, such as the content transformation application. For these kind of application, actually there is no shared data among applications, and each copy of these application can run by its own self, and there is no need for any kind of communication. Therefore, data management will not be an issue in this case. The second kind of application is the stateful application, in which there is some common data that's been cycled around the multiple copies that we have. And one example is the collaborative work within a group. And for this case, consistency is an important factor to be achieved in order to guarantee the successfulness of the application. For this kind of application, actually, we can make a high benefit from locality, from the data locality that applications tend to show for developing work clients. Here's an example that shows the result of running the my friends map for both developing and developed area clients. So the main point to take out of these two maps is that this is for a client who lives in Iraq, and as you can see, the percentage of the local user that this client has is almost 73%, while this is a map of a user who lives in somewhere in the United States, and it's like the data is the friends that this user has is basically distributed over the world. So the point that that I would like to highlight from these two pictures is that there is a high locality in the data for users who live in the developing area. And this is why we think that the hierarchical updating technique can work perfectly in our favor. Basically, instead of updating, if we would run application locally, there must be some updating rate for the data that we have. So if we can manage to do the updating in a lower rate and keep that updating locally and broadcasting to the outside world only when it's required, then that will save us a lot of bandwidth and latency. The second problem that we also expected to face is the deployment and the security issue. Since applications have different requirements, such as the runtime environment, the required library that they will need, the configuration setups, and also if we will run across platforms, there is a high diversity among these platforms. So we shouldn't expect to see the same, to be dealing with the same kind of platform all the time. The third thing is the security requirement. The fact that we will be running an application on a third party platform, and there must be some security guarantee to be provided, both among the local applications themselves and between the application and the environment where it's hosting. For this kind of application, we expected that the virtual machine will be such a supportive solution for all the above problem. Since this technique has been used for cloud computing environments, and we think that it can be easily be used for our to leverage the implementation of our technique. However, unlike what we have in the cloud computing environment, the migration of the application will be troublesome for us, just because of the limited bandwidth that we the limited bandwidth problem that we are struggling with. However, if we can only identify the difference between the virtual machine images, we can just transfer the difference instead of transferring the whole virtual machine image. This difference can be as small as 43 megabytes for a virtual machine with 725 megabyte original size. So in the remaining three slides, I will show a quick evaluation of PrangOffice. This is a document sharing application that can use, similar to the Google Doc actually, but it is an open source application that we installed and measured the response time for accessing this application in two different scenarios. The workflow that we used was, we used Wikipedia document revision history for collaborative editing with a 9-to-1 read-to-write ratio. For this stage, we used the Linux traffic control tool, TC, to simulate the network bandwidth and the latency. And we concluded the latency and the bandwidth from the traces that we collected. And here are the numbers that shows both of these factors. And as you can see, Zambia has the longest latency just because of the satellite connection that they have and the multi-wireless connection. And Baghdad or Iraq has the lowest bandwidth just because of the high number of the bandwidth sharer. We also, and in order to come up with a good simulation, we used a low-end machine to simulate what a regular machine looked like in developing world, and we used a kind of high-end machine to simulate how does a cloud server look like. And the simulation that I'm, the result I'm showing here shows that when 64, like when different number of concurrent users, up to 64, are all accessing or updating the same document. So what is the response time for accessing this document when it's stored locally versus when it's stored remotely? And when this is for the three web traces, so for the first bar shows the near client local proxy server, and the other three bars shows the remote clients for the Iraq, Zambia, and the Cambodia web traces. As it's, as can be seen, the latency shrinks dramatically when you access a local user versus using versus accessing a remote user. We also noticed that the weaker CPU could be one problem that starts popping up when you reach to a high level of concurrency. As a conclusion, in this paper, we've shown that web proxy is an efficient for caching static pages. Web prefetching, on the other hand, has limited benefit since its effectiveness is diminished by the web proxy and the high hit and the high ratio of the dynamic web accesses. Third, local application mirroring is a promising technique to accelerate the response time of dynamic web requests. So thanks, and by this I'm ready to take any question if you have.
Uh-huh.
So if you are asking why, like across the three web traces, it's just because the Cambodia one, which has the highest freshness check, it was collected in 2005, and the proxy caching that they are using was the Microsoft one, unlike the other two traces, which use SQL. And so we think that the, you know, different inversion and kind of different in generation is the reason behind that. Similar, yeah. I think for the previous talk, the assumption of the free bandwidth, I would say, is something that we kind of against here. Bandwidth is really an issue. It is one big factor. And this is why we are saying that prefetching is not appropriate for developing a region. Like, for example, for Firefox, there is this FasterFox. What it does, it's download everything, assuming that the user may need it, so let's download it. But at the same time, actually, you are wasting the bandwidth and spending it in the wrong place. So similar with the cloud, the movable cloud or something. So if you ended up downloading something and the user actually didn't use it, so you are not only hurting this user, but whoever happened to be sharing the, whoever happened to be sharing the bandwidth at this time. But yes, there is a similarity in the sense that you need to guarantee the consistency of the data, since you will have multiple copies. So how to guarantee that? That will be one thing. And I think you also talk about the virtual machine as a solution for some problem, which sounds to be quite similar. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true, but I don't know. Actually, Google has some work going at Baghdad University for a short period of time, but I don't know. For some one reason, they just stopped that. I don't know. And actually, if you look at the amount of updating that the Google Doc is relying on, it's scary. With each keystroke, there will be some post sent from your machine to the remote server. So you really, if you think about how much traffic this application is generating, it's just scary. Thank you. Yay.